Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Wars and rumors of wars. The Pentagon has requested an unprecedented budget. What threatens the United States and its allies the most? Is Russia one of those threats, or is it more failed military interventions? To crosstalk growing global tensions, I'm joined by my guest, Sir Tony Brenton in Naples, Florida. He is a former British ambassador to Russia. In Erbil, Iraq, we have Joe Loria. He's an independent journalist. And in London, we cross to Sami Ramadani. He is a contributor on Iraq and the Middle East for The Guardian, as well as a senior lecturer in sociology. Okay, I'd like to go to Joe first in Iraq because I read your article, Risking World War III in Syria. So when you were probably writing it, I was asking my producers to find guests like yourselves to do a program exactly on that topic. Why did you write that, Joe? Go ahead.
Oh, obviously, because I wanted to be on the show. No, I had no idea you were thinking of that. because Saudi Arabia announced that they wanted to, that they were ready to invade Syria, and the Russian Defense Ministry said Turkey seemed to be massing borders troops on the Syrian border, and the Russian-backed Syrian Arab Army is about to encircle Aleppo. So this is could be an event that determines the outcome of the war. The Saudis clearly want to stop this. But when Saudi Arabia knows they don't have the military capability to do this, they have the military capability to pound the poorest Arab country into the dust, and they can't win that war. I'm talking about Yemen, of course. So when they don't have the capability, but they have outsized ambitions, where do they go? Who do they call? They call Washington. So they want the Americans to lead this. They've made this very clear, that the United States has to lead on the ground. And it hasn't been dismissed in Washington. In fact, Ashton Carter, the defense secretary, said it will be discussed this week in Brussels at a NATO summit. Will the United States do this? Now, Obama, I think it's very much up to Barack Obama, the person of Barack Obama, because the Saudis seem to be challenging him. There have been some Western analysts and the commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards who say that this is a bluff by the Saudis and a ruse. I think it's a challenge to Obama. They're looking at his legacy, which people in high public office, you know, are very vain about. Does he want to lose Syria? That's what they're saying.
Okay, let's. That's him, it. Who
want
you know,
to,
losing
they want to
Syria?
Him into invading.
Okay. If I can go to Tony, what I find really interesting here is that it's being couched in who's going to lose Syria here, and this is what really terribly bothers me because, and plus we have to add on looking at the regional actors, Saudi Arabia and Turkey. Nominally, I would think, you know, no, who wants to risk something such high stakes here? But because Saudi Arabia did start bombing the poorest country in the Arab world, Yemen, without any results, and then you have a president of Turkey that intentionally shot down a Russian plane. I mean, these are very high stakes here, and I'm very, very worried that if the Turkish president, he doesn't want to lose face, so he may invade Syria, and that's when you could start bumping into the Russians, which would be very, very dangerous. I think we would all agree. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is very dangerous. And it's actually pretty stupid because we all have a shared agenda for Syria, which is to defeat Islamism and to defeat Islamic State in particular. And it's a great shame, really, that because of preconceptions, we're all talking across each other. There are dangers of accidents of all sorts in the north of Syria, whereas we should be working together for our shared objective. And I am slightly encouraged by the Kerry-Lavrov relationship and what they are working on behind the scenes to try and get some talks going, which will take us in the direction we all need to go, which is to ease Assad out, which I'm quite sure the Russians are ready to do come the right moment, and to combine in the post-Assad or in the departure of Assad to eliminate Islamic State and the Islamist threat, and to install a sensible, moderate government in Syria,
Tony,
we can all support.
You're being very sensible, Tony. That's why I like having you as a guest on this program. But if I can go to with Sami here, but it's not reasonable politics going on around Syria, because I don't believe to this day that the U.S. and its allies are particularly interested in defeating ISIS and related groups. They're still focused on forced regime change in Damascus.
I think you are right, and the events on the ground for the last few years and even in recent months prove that. The United States, to say the least, I think, do not want ISIS to be defeated in the immediate sense because they have not given up on their policy of regime change in Syria. And you could see it through their closest allies as well, Turkey and Saudi Arabia. Turkey amassing troops along the Turkey-Syria borders is a very serious event, I think, much more serious than the Saudi announcement that they are prepared to send troops. I think they might send 50, 60 soldiers to provide a so-called Arab cover for a greater intervention. I think the greater intervention might come from Turkey. And I note that the Turkish government's decision not to allow refugees to go into Syria and build tents for them inside Syrian territory, allowing greater intervention by Turkey into Syria. And I think Turkey is playing a very dangerous game. And it appears to me that the United States is happy for Turkey to play that that role. And they have even welcomed the Saudi announcement to send forces. So there is a problem here, a strategic problem, I feel. And unless it is resolved, the war in Syria will continue and could escalate. That strategic problem is the policy of regime change. You know, if that is not abandoned, the problems will continue.
Joe, I watched the last Republican debate on television, and it's very interesting to me because I think that what we could get at on both sides of the aisle is that, you know, Obama is losing Syria, could lose Syria. It will be his fault, okay? And that's putting an enormous amount of pressure on that administration because I don't think it's any coincidence here with the level of militarism in American political discourse right now and putting pressure on Obama to do something because, of course, that's the essence of American foreign policy, something must be done, which is really ridiculous. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, our public officials are, you know, imbued with vanity and they care about their legacy. So I think this is an issue for Obama if you are to be accused of losing Syria. He's been under enormous pressure throughout his entire two terms from the neocons in Washington, from the Saudis, from the Israelis on a number of issues. On Ukraine and on Eastern Europe, where they're putting $3 billion more of hardware in there, where there's no threat from Russia whatsoever, he has given in to the U.S. And on Libya, he's given in to the neocons. He has, however, stood up on Syria. Just gives some encouragement. I'm talking about the chemical attack outside Ghouta in the summer of 2013, when there was enormous pressure on him. Kerry went around beating his chest as if he were president, saying we're going to bomb. And at the last minute, he threw it to Congress, and then they made the deal with the Russians over the chemical weapons. Cy Hirsch says it was because Obama got information from the British that this was actually the rebels who had done this chemical attack. So we won't know, but he did stand up twice, at least twice, to the neocons on Syria. Will he do it again is the issue, and I think this is what the gambit is of the Saudis. Yes, they're going to send 50, 60 soldiers. It's not about the Saudi troops. It's about getting America into the war on the ground. Can he really be foolish enough to do this? And then that might trigger what the title of this program is.
Okay.
And that's the risk here.
Tony, one of the things I think is extremely tragic here because of the poisoned rhetoric between Russia and the United States originating back to Ukraine is that it's very difficult for the administration to publicly come out and embrace Russia, which was the most logical thing to do in terms of Syria. I mean, what happens in Syria after the destruction of ISIS and other groups should be on the agenda, but they have to have first things first. Even that the U.S. cannot really do. At least we're not completely at odds here, but they could have easily worked more closely together. Go ahead, Tony.
I mean, you're right that Ukraine has slightly poisoned the atmosphere here. But the reality, I mean, I'm here. I can sense the atmosphere of the presidential election campaign. It's fundamentally about domestic issues, not about foreign issues. There is a possibility down the line that America is going to acquire a president who's going to be tougher on Russia than Obama has been willing to be. But Obama at the moment is very reticent about any sort of international intervention at all. To the extent there is pressure on him on this issue, it's pressure to deal with ISIS, because ISIS has been responsible for a major terrorist incident here and major terrorist incidents elsewhere. And I was quite struck to hear Sam say the Americans really don't want to deal with ISIS.
Yeah.
If you go to England or if you go to Europe, you'll hear Europeans saying the Russians don't really want to deal with ISIS. I think everybody does, in fact, want to deal with ISIS. And it's a matter of finding the way of doing that and eliminating all the obstructions on the way. And somebody said, that Turkey is a danger and a threat. But actually, the Turks are far more focused on the Kurdish problem than they are on the Syrian problem. They're only really interested in Syria for two
reasons.
Well,
precisely.
Firstly, confronting them with a lot of refugees.
Come back here.
And secondly...
Okay, Tony, second point, and then we'll go to Sammy. Go ahead.
Finish off on Turkey. Okay. Yeah, firstly, as I say, they have a real refugee problem. And secondly, they are worried that if Syria really does go to pieces, then it produces an independent Kurdistan, which is a real problem for them.
Sammy, jump in London. Go ahead.
I think Tony made the point for me in a sense that Turkey is much more focused on defeating the Kurdish movements than fighting ISIS, I think. And on the ground, we shouldn't forget the bombing and the control of Kobani by ISIS forces. We saw openly Turkish encouragement. And Turkey, for the past few months, have been bombing Kurdish positions,
yep.
Even though they made a nominal attack on ISIS. And you could hear Erdogan and Turkish officials constantly saying that Kurdish movements are more dangerous than ISIS. Incidentally, this is a formula that Israel uses as well. They say that these terrorist groups are less dangerous, they are dangerous, but less dangerous than Iranian-backed forces in the region. So there is a strategic picture here that we shouldn't lose sight of. I think Turkey has been involved and has become a command center in some cases. There was a BBC radio program only a few weeks ago exposing how there is a command center in Turkey issuing orders to opposition forces controlled by Turkey to cooperate with Jabhat al-Nusra, the al-Qaeda force in Syria to take over Idlib and so on. Turkey was involved in Syria back in June 2011.
Sammy, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, gentlemen, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on heightened global tension. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing increased global tensions. Okay, Joe, I'd like to go back to you in Iraq. You know, the phrase has been used, who lost Iraq here? But one of the things, in looking at Western media and Western capitals here, there's this visceral worry that Russia might win. And that's something that is concerned a lot of people. Again, keeping their diverting their attention away from the real problems, ISIS and related groups, instead of looking at the larger picture. The Russians might win, and that terrifies some people.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, the Republicans are going to hound Obama on this, and the Saudis are doing it already. Do you want to lose Syria to the Russians and the Iranians, which probably the Saudis care more about? And I think that this is why it comes down to whether Obama can resist these pressures and not give in to leading a ground invasion of Syria. They've saying up to now that they won't, and it seems like they will not, but things could change. But we've seen crazier things happen. And we've seen the U.S., you know, they're normal operations to rope people into... Yes, go on.
Tony, you want to jump in?
Can I just please cut in here just to say... Just very, very briefly to say, here in the United States, no one, but no one, is pressing for a serious U.S. ground operation in Syria. It's not on the table, even for the people, even for the more extreme presidential candidates. They are, of course, alarmed, you know, that the old geopolitical enemy, Russia, might gain in this process. But their central concern is Islamism and terrorism.
Okay, I was going to go to you anyway, Tony. But
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree, Joe? Do you want to follow up real quick?
No.
Go ahead.
No, because I it's not enough time to go into all the details, but there's clear evidence that the U.S. has supported some of these extremist groups, including those that became the Islamic State. I'm talking about a Defense Intelligence Agency document from August 2012. And we know that the Saudis have been backing these groups. Why? Because they wanted to overthrow Assad. This is, as Peter pointed out, I think the main objective. And there is a phantom war in many ways against the Islamic State. While People may think that in the U.S. that that's the objective. I don't think that that is when you look at what's going on in the ground.
Okay, Tony, I mean, the issue really gets down to, because we know that there are elements in Saudi Arabia and Turkey that would like to go in there and said it publicly or showing that they are in the case of the Turks. I mean, this is what the U.S. has to grapple with, because can they control their proxy surrogates in the region here? And to what degree do you push or pull back? And I think the danger of, and one of the reasons why I wanted you on the program here, is that we have to remember Turkey is a NATO ally. It's a member of NATO. Now, if the Turks get themselves into a real mess in Syria and the Russians start protecting the regime there, I mean, you know where I'm going here, and that's why I find it quite terrifying. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. Okay, no, well, yeah, but it's not as scary as it looks. The short answer to your question is, yes, the United States can control its proxy surrogates here. We've all already agreed that Saudi Arabia doesn't have the capacity and probably doesn't have the will to intervene militarily effectively. We've all also agreed that Turkey's real concern isn't about what goes on in Syria. It's about its own Kurdish problem. So it's down fundamentally to whether the United States is willing to go much further than it's gone already in its action in Syria. And there's absolutely no evidence that they are, and no evidence that anyone is very seriously pressing for it. The issue, I mean, somebody said earlier, and I think this is a profound mistake, that the Americans are backing extreme Islamists. They may have done in the past. We, of course, made mistakes in Iraq and elsewhere. But it is striking to me that people in the West are making precisely the accusation against Russia, that Russia is bombing moderate opposition to Assad and not bombing ISIS.
Well, Tony,
as long as we trade accusations
okay,
of that
well, you
sort...
Know, but sorry,
can I just finish?
Go ahead.
Can I just finish? As long as people trade accusations of that sort, which I think are false on both sides, we're going to find it very hard to cooperate on the central issue, which is dealing with an Islamism which challenges us in Europe, challenges us here in the United States, challenges you in Russia.
Okay. I'm going to take what Tony said. I'm going to pass it over here to Sammy. And I want to react to something that Tony said, because I think it's really important, is that, Russia is bombing moderate forces in Syria. I find it really remarkable, but not surprising, that they never say what moderate means. What front? Is it al-Qaeda related? Is it funded by the Saudis? They never name what it means to be moderate, and I think that's being disingenuous in the media and in politics in Washington. Go ahead, Sammy. You want to react to what I said, Tony or Joe, whatever. Go ahead.
Everybody is struggling to find out who the moderates in Syria are amongst the armed groups in the opposition. The fact is, they all cooperate. They all exchange supplies. Supplies that go to one group end up with Jabhat al-Nusra or with ISIS and so on and so forth. And on the ground, there is real cooperation. There have been many independent observers in Syria who testify to this fact that these groups cooperate in certain battles around Idlib, in the north, northeast, and so on, northwest. There are areas where these forces actually cooperate on the ground, and they all agree that their main enemy is the government and government forces. So there is real, and these forces, including the so-called moderates, are publicly supported by the United States, by Turkey, by the Saudi financing them, by Qatar and so on. So these are facts on the ground, I'm afraid, Tony. We cannot escape them, that if the United States puts its foot down, then the Saudis will stop, the Qataris will stop, and so will Turkey. And then we will have a peaceful solution emerging in Syria. But if the policy is that we either destroy the Syrian government or we destroy Syria completely, if that fails, this is what happened in Libya. They couldn't overthrow Gaddafi, so they went and destroyed it. Afghanistan, Iraq, they couldn't overthrow Saddam, so they went and destroyed Iraq. There seems to be a tendency that unless a strategic place is controlled by the United States, the United States is going as far as agreeing to destroy states, to destroy societies, regardless of who rules them.
Even if it isn't intentional, that's always the result, at least recently. Joe, it looks like you want to jump in. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask Tony a question. Is this administration in Washington prepared to allow the Syrian Arab army with Russian backing to liberate Aleppo and to win the war, basically, to take back territory and to win the war for the Syrian government without doing anything more about it.
Tony, you want to reply?
I don't think the United States sees itself as having a lot of choice. They, as I've said, are not willing to put ground troops in there. And they're not going to launch themselves into a military confrontation with Russia about this. But can I come back to the way forward? As we've just heard, the question of who's a moderate Syrian opposition is a difficult one. There's a great ambiguous smear of opposition out there in Syria. But the trick to finding the solution is to identify a sensible, moderate center so that Assad can go. He is very much part of the problem. As long as Assad is there, we're also going to have a very sharp, challenging Islamist fringe threatening stability in Syria. It's a matter of identifying those moderates, supporting them, helping them into power.
Sammy, that's the point of the program. Go ahead.
On the question of moderate groups, there are moderate groups in Syria, but they are not armed groups. There are political forces which have been around for many decades who have a democratic agenda. They are prepared to negotiate, and they have rejected the militarization of any protest movement in Syria, but the West have chosen to ignore them, to marginalize them. They do exist. They have representatives. They have popular support. And they are prepared to negotiate. But they have opposed the militarization. They oppose a military conflict. And the West has been weakening them and ignoring them. And the Saudis and the Qataris and the Turks have been actually fighting against them. So these are the true moderates in Syria. They don't want foreign intervention. And they want to sit down around the table and resolve the issues peacefully. There are, but they are not any of the armed groups, I'm afraid.
Joe, why would the government in Damascus really take any kind of peace talk seriously right now? Because, you know, I can bring up, the issue of Ukraine, and I always do, is that, you know, the European Union, with tacit approval of the United States, made an agreement to have a transition of power in Ukraine, and then the moment we were supposed to kick in, they all turned their back, and they lied, and they said, no, this is a popular revolution, okay? My point is, why would, you know, Assad, he's winning, he looks like he's winning, he has a good, reliable allies. You know, it's going well. Why should we trust the Americans and the Europeans? They don't keep their word. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, the peace talks are over. They didn't even start. They were gone for 2 days. And, of course, Russia's been blamed by the West, and Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General, has agreed with that. But his own man, Staffan de Mistura, made it very clear that these were unconditional talks. No one could set any conditions. And, of course, the opposition set numerous conditions, the main one being Russia had to stop its military operation. But the first order of business of those talks were to get a ceasefire. There was no ceasefire yet because it hadn't even begun to be discussed. So this is wrong. It was the opposition that broke that up. And will they come back again? You know, clearly, the things very clearly happening on the ground near Aleppo is major development in this 5-year war. And that's why I'm glad to hear Tony say that.
Okay, I want to give Tony the last word here, because you were part of this BBC documentary, World War III, Inside the War Room. Do you think the United States, its NATO allies, and Russia will go to war based on that documentary? Do you think that's a feasible scenario? I'm sorry, it's 40 seconds.
It was a pretty scary documentary.
Go ahead.
Okay. Scary documentary to take part in. There's a real danger of an accident or a misjudgment on both sides, which strengthens my very strong view that we need to be talking more, we have shared objectives, and we should be focusing on them.
Okay. Well, Tony, I mean, we still have like 20 seconds here. Is Estonia so important to Russia that it would start a war, or Sweden or Lithuania? I mean, do you think that premise is logical? Go ahead.
No, I think it's very unlikely. But if there were an uprising actually it was in Latvia that it was set, of the Russian-speaking population there, Russia would find it very difficult to resist supporting that population. That was the premise for the program. And it's very easy to see things sliding downhill from there. We need to get back into place things like the NATO-Russia Council, which prevent that sort of
outcome. There's no empirical evidence that there's going to be an uprising in the Baltic Republics. It is an illusion that is spread around the world in the media. No. Gentlemen, we've run out of time. Many thanks to my guests in Naples, Erbil, and in London. And thanks to our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk rules. I'm going to go to the hospital. I love you.